are back. Welcome to No Direction Beyond, your Starfinder news, reviews, and interviews podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Baron.
I'm Alexander Agunis, the Everyman Gamer.
And I'm James. I write Code Switch.
And today is Halloween, which means we want to have some fun with the podcast tonight. So,
we don't normally have fun with the podcast?
Well, yeah, but oh, darn it. I have failed James.
That's all right.
All right, but so what we decided to do was what was fairly obvious and quick to put together. We are going to be making Halloween-themed monsters here on the podcast. We each have prepped a monster, and we will talk about how we walked through its creation, through the Alien Archives monster creation, or alien creation, creature creation, whatever rules. And then we're going to try to make another monster here live on stream, hopefully with viewer participation. So any of our audience, please get your monster ideas ready in chat. Because there's going to be a delay between chat and live, we're going to give you some time to give those answers. But first, before we move on, we need to talk about our monsters.
I mean, I'm not sure why we're letting them pick. We all know they're just going to ask us to do those shrinking devils that we were talking about in the actual review of this book. But I understand that we should at least let them come to that inevitable conclusion.
Or they're going to ask us to make Theatermanders.
Yeah, just make Theatermanders again, please. Yeah.
All right. So, Alex, let's start with your critter. So, what sort of Halloween beastie did you bring with us tonight?
Well, I based my monster off of a real, not a real world monster, but a monster from pop culture that people have been talking about a lot in the past like year or so. I made a chaotic evil colossal aberration, and my Starfinder name for it is the Katekenham, because I needed to give it a name that wasn't the name that would just be a ripoff. So that's what I went with. I pulled up a whole bunch of different name sources and got like components of it from different words that meant different things in a bunch of languages from Aboriginal peoples like North America and South America.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say what it's based on yet. I'd like to say the abilities that it has and see if the audience can figure out what I based my monster on. I think that sounds like fun. What do you guys think?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So where should I start with talking about my colossal chaotic evil aberration that is extra planar?
What's its CR?
19.
Wow, you have a big old boy monster, don't you?
I do. And so my strategy, I kind of cheated, I'm sure, compared to you guys. I went into Hero Labs Starfinder online thing, and I just made a blank CR19 aberration template, and it popped all the stats out I wanted after I picked my my skills. So let me just sit there from there and actually just write the monsters. It took maybe like 45 minutes to do my monster all together, which was pretty cool. I recommend grabbing Hero Lab for monster building if you need to. But yeah, I did a CR19 colossal aberration.
Wow. I only got like a 24 on my knowledge like aberrations. I don't think I even get a question.
No, you don't. You need at least a 29.
Ah, crap.
And this might arguably be a unique creature, depending on the lore of the TV show it's from. So it might even be even higher. So I wanted to make sure when I was, you know, I'm not going to go over the basic aberration stuff from the aberration graft, but one of the more interesting abilities that I gave my monster is that it has blind sense thought with a range of 1 mile.
Okay. Well, let's walk through the creation steps with your monster.
Sure.
Okay. So step one, okay, besides, you're keeping the concept secret other than that it's an aberration monster. Okay. So step one, what array did you pick?
I picked the Spellcaster array.
Okay. Spellcaster is always a fun array.
Uh-oh. It is.
Okay. And what creature type graft?
It has got the aberration creature type graft.
Okay. An aberration. Okay. That's fairly obvious.
Yeah.
Okay. Any subtype grafts?
Just extra planar.
Just extra planar. All right. Does this thing have a class graft?
No.
Any template grass?
No.
All right, so special abilities. What does this critter do to the unfortunate PCs that run into it?
Well, as a CR-19 creature, it gets two at-will spells that are spell-like abilities that are fourth level. It gets three that are fifth level, and it gets four that it can use once per day that are sixth level. So the spells that I picked for at-will, it can do Cosmic Eddy and Mind Probe.
Okay.
Three times per day, it can do Synapse Overload, Telekinesis, and Unwilling Guardian. Unwilling Guardian is this really neat spell that, like, you pick someone and they're basically brainwashed into defending you for the spell's duration.
Okay.
And for once a day, it can control gravity, it can do a mass suggestion, it can shadow walk, or it can terraform.
Terraform.
It can terraform.
Okay. Does it have any unique special abilities?
It does. So it has a grand total of two unique special abilities, and one of them is a curse that it has.
I think I might know. I have a hint of what this is.
Yeah. So I'm going to give the curse first, because I think that the other special ability is a much stronger clue, and I'd like to do the lower one first. It's got an ability called Mind Flay. As a standard action, the monster can attempt to forcibly infuse a living creature with its essence. This requires a melee touch attack against the target's EAC. If the attack hits, the target must succeed at a will save or gain the Mind Flay curse. The Mind Flay curse, it uses a modified version of the mental disease affliction track. Instead of having comatose, it has the dominated stage, and it has no death stage. So dominated is the end stage. So how it works is that the monster has an ability called Hive Mind, which I'll talk about in a minute. And if you're at the latent stage, you get added to the monster's Hive Mind. At the impaired stage, the monster treats its divination and enchantment spell-like abilities as having a planetary range when targeting the cursed creature. At the befuddled state, any divination or enchantment spell-like abilities that the creature has that they use to target that creature will have the duration changed to permanent, dismissible, ending automatically if the curse is lifted. At the dominated state, the target takes none of the penalties associated with the mental disease tract and instead acts as if under the effects of a dominate person spell, except the target can be of any type. A successful DC 26 will save to resist the control allows the target to act normally for 1 minute as if unaffected instead of ending the dominate effect, and the monster doesn't need to concentrate on the dominate spell to maintain the domination.
Yeah.
So it's Hive Mind ability. It treats all creatures that it's cursed with Mind Flay that are at the latent stage or higher as being in its Hive Mind, and it can communicate with its Hive Mind as if using telepathy if those creatures are within range of its blind sight, which is 1 mile, and it requires no action to change a dominated creature's orders. Normally you have to do a move action, it can just do it. It also receives full sensory input as interpreted by the minds of those within its Hive Mind, requiring no action to access the information. Normally it's a standard action to do that. Control can be maintained across the planes, provided that the blind sight can reach the creature. So you probably need to have like an open portal or some sort of hole somewhere in order for it to go through. Mm-hmm. Creatures in the Hive Mind must succeed at a DC Fortitude save. If the Hive Mind effect ends, like they're no longer in range, they have to succeed at a Fortitude save or their neural pathways are fried, making it completely unable to take actions, including breathing. So if they breathe, they drop to 0 hit points and begin dying on a failed save. And on the next round, the target dies. If you somehow manage to stop it from suffocating, you can only restore the target's mental facilities with the psychic surgery spell. There is one more clue I can give about what my monster is.
Okay.
That clue is how to cure the curse, because all curses in Starfinder have like a weird way to cure them. And this one, to cure this curse, the target must be subjected to hot temperatures of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or hotter, which allows the target to attempt a new saving throw each hour to end the curse. So what do you guys think, chat? Have you figured out what my monster is, what I based it on?
Okay, we have no guesses from chat. So James, do you have anything?
At first I was thinking it was that Elder God from Strange Aeons, but now the one that did the things that was real bad, but now I think it's not that. I don't know why, but it reminds me of Wendigo a little bit, but that's not right at all, just because Wendigo's in cold stay together, so I kind of I don't know. I'm actually just stumped.
Is this the monster from Stranger Things Season 2?
It is! It is the monster from Stranger Things Season 2.
No wonder. I've never seen it.
It's a great, great season.
Well, what do you think? Is my monster a great, great representation of that concept?
It does seem to manage that concept fairly well. It definitely would be horror-themed, because there is lots of scary adventures you could have with that, as denoted by the critically acclaimed television show Stranger Things.
I'm sorry, you get a new save after an hour. What is the tick rate of the curse again?
A day. The frequency is 1 day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you do have some time. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, in Stranger Things, one of the things that, like, happens is that the kids falls under the influence of the bad guy over the course of, like, a few days. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that I really wanted to make sure was captured by this this monster's curse. Go ahead.
And so because you're doing it with a slow build, that definitely lets you, like, infuse that body horror element into it.
Yeah. It also, this might have helped, it's weakness to fire, and it has sunlight powerlessness. So if you manage to somehow catch it in sunlight on the plane of shadows, good job.
Yeah, you did the thing. I mean,
you beat the odds, kid. You went from zero to hero.
Where do you think it would usually inhabit?
Definitely in the plane of shadows. Mm-hmm. In Stranger Things, what basically happens is that this monster is in the plane of shadows, but holes open up between that plane, its plane, and the material plane, and it can basically force its power through those holes, and it, like, burrows tunnels all over the place. Without trying to give too many spoilers, because apparently in chat there are people who haven't seen Stranger Things season 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. Get on that; it's really good.
Yeah, fantastic show.
Yeah, but like there's a tunnel network, and it's able to use its mind control powers across the planes because there's that connection. And so that was something that's really important to me too, because a lot of these abilities that, like, allow you to do mental control or whatever stop working across planes or even through portals. So I was like, this needs to be specifically in here. It also has cosmic eddy because the monster does a lot of storms. And I thought that was really fun. But most of its abilities are just based on, like, creepy mind stuff. And it has terraform so that it can make the tunnels that it needs.
I guess it's huge, but, I mean, burrow speeds aren't colossal. Restricted. Yeah, but, I mean, burrow speeds aren't restricted.
Right, but unless the ability says otherwise, a burrow speed never leaves a tunnel behind.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, so I was like, I need an ability that actually makes holes in the ground, and terraform was the spell I did to do.
Okay. That's a scary monster. What's his attack stats look like, by the way? I assume it would eventually punch you.
Oh, yeah. So it's an incorporeal creature, I should add.
What? That's like number one. It's a ghost.
it has four tentacles that have plus 29 to hit, that do 9d8 plus 28 bludgeoning damage, and then also trigger its mind play ability.
I'm sick already.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Because it's colossal, it has a space of 30 feet and a reach of 30 feet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, you know, there is one good hope for you. It has a movement speed of 10 feet and a fly speed of 40 feet. So, like, it's absolutely outrunnable.
If you are cybernetically enhanced.
Yes. This is Starfinder. You aren't cybernetically enhanced?
I mean, not everybody has a fast leg. Some people have, you know, espresso machines in their torso or something. You know, useful things.
This is hoverboard's for.
This is, no, you just got to take out those tendons and replace them, man. Those tendons aren't doing you anything.
The Mitsune Hane van will get you out of there.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that would
actually,
do it.
Actually, yeah. I'm sure that van is fast enough to outrun this monster, right?
In full speed, because vehicle speeds are weird in Starfinder.
This is a chase sequence waiting to happen.
There's a chase scene in the special that I think fits this perfectly already.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, it's man, actually... I should throw this at Thirsty and be like, hey, Thirsty, how do you feel about a CR19 monster? And Thirsty will say, no.
Aww.
I think it was a special. There's a scenario where you're just Jurassic Parking, and it's very good.
Oh, is it against the pink dinosaurs, the great ones?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what it is. It's that one scenario.
Yeah, after our last episode where I talked about how I killed the dinosaur with bleed damage, I had to very calmly and multiple times explain to Vanessa that I did not kill a Rendoka, that it was just a giant dinosaur.
Yeah, it was just a separate dinosaur from the same planet.
There are a lot of dinosaurs on that planet, though.
There are.
Well, if you have one dinosaur, you're likely going to have a few more.
That's true. Speaking of having a few more, we have a few more monsters to get through.
Indeed. James, do you want to go next, or do you want me to take the stage?
Sure. I'll jump in here. I figured out a name.
Awesome.
Yeah, I have a hard time designing monsters in general, especially when it comes to like Starfinder, because the distinction in Starfinder about, you know, playing a cantina, where's the separation between a species and a monster? And at that point, it's kind of government and how common they are through where you're at. Mm-hmm. So what I think is, I kind of went for like a horror aspect here, but not like overly horror. I don't know. A couple things came together. So my creature is a medium fey with the shapechanger template, because that is probably the scariest thing besides interplanetary teleportation is shape changing. No, yeah, it's scary when you could just jump out of a mirror and be somewhere, like from the plane of shadows, like, you know, Hellraiser stuff. But yeah, it's a fey with the shapechanger template. It has the name Insidious Cluster, and Cluster is used as a term for a like a collective noun of dragonflies, which kind of hints as to what the creature itself is. So the creature itself in like overall terms, and I'll jump into some specifics, is it is a kind of like a worm that walks, or a Lakolotho from Halo, where it is a sentient collective of smaller organisms.
Ooh.
Creepy.
Yeah, but it's one that isn't necessarily evil, but ends up kind of like most fae, doing evil things as a consequence of how they like to live. In the idea of it, it's something that goes into normal societies and tries to live in a normal society, all while hiding the secret that it is actually a collection of 100,000 bugs over top other bug-like pixies or brownies or other type of fae spirits there. And I think that's a good place. Do you guys have any questions about it so far?
Okay. Well, let's walk through the steps.
Okay.
Okay. So, which array did you choose?
I chose the combatant array.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. This one gets up close and personal. Creature type?
Creature type fey.
Okay. Sub-creature?
Shape changer.
Okay. Any class graft?
No.
Template graft?
No. There's no template graft on it either.
Okay. Skills?
It has good acrobatics, good disguise, and intimidate.
All right. Spells?
No spells.
All right. Special abilities.
Special abilities. So, I wrote a couple. One of them has a good name. The other two have a name in progress. Mm-hmm. So the first one is called, disassociation. So as a move action, the humanoid swarm flies apart into a large, you know, a 10-foot square, swarm. Mm-hmm. Gaining swarm defenses, swarm attack, losing its slam, and losing its waxy outer coating, which I'll get to in a minute, keeping its other mental and physical abilities. So it's still itself, and it is also one of the scariest things you ever play in these games, is intelligent swarms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hell wasps.
Yeah, anything that just you can't, sometimes you're just out of luck, so it makes it very difficult. Its next ability is reconfigure. It takes a little longer as a one-round action for the swarm to recoalesce into a medium-sized humanoid or monstrous humanoid figure. It loses its swarm traits and defenses, regains its slam attack, and can start regenerating its waxy coating. Its waxy coating is actually an ability that I think is named at least okay, Tussaud's Facade.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rolls off the tongue, Madame Tussaud's Wax Museum. So if you've ever seen scale bugs grow on plants. They're kind of similar to aphids. They don't really move, but they generate like a waxy outer coating to disguise them. That's kind of what these things take off of. So this thing is a collective of bugs, but after a while, the bugs that take on the outside of the skin start to exude a wax that becomes skin-like. So Tussaud is after 24 hours from the most recent time reconfigure's been used, the outer waxy coating starts to grow back. Strongest pliable skin, and it really only gets soft after a minute of exposure at like 150 degrees. It's not just something that, like a candle, where it just, here you go, it's melted. And it's used as a way for this creature to hide inside regular society. They can the creature can choose what type of humanoid or monstrous humanoid it would want to change into, as well as switching personal identity inside of that. But it has to do that within the first hour after reconfigure. Otherwise, it'll just reconfigure back to its old form. Let me see here. At the end of the process of getting back the skin coating, it gets to make a disguise check to mask its true identity or its previous identities, just to kind of become a new either identity or to hide that it's just a thousand bugs inside of a person costume. It also does not take penalties for trying to disguise itself as a humanoid, monstrous humanoid. It doesn't take any gender penalties, but it can't make itself disguise itself as larger or smaller than medium. So it has to stay in that size.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
So what sort of encounters do you think would be good for this creature to be used in?
So there was a very good scenario very early on in season 2 of Numenera Society where your group is part of like a crashed airship expedition. And there's just somebody there who just speaks nonsense. This creature would have an intelligence higher than that. It's like intelligence 10. But in that scenario, it's this very helpful creature, but it speaks nonsense and it might not be as benign as it seems. This creature kind of has the same where it wants to be in polite society. But because it wants to keep its identity, keep it secret, it's something that can become violent very quick. And it's also something that if you were to find out what it was, it has things like blind sense 60 feet with scent, dark vision. And it's something that would be able to pretty easily find a way around to find those people that would know its secret.
Okay.
You accidentally walk into a dressing room. The person is changing clothing, but beneath their hoodie, there is just 10,000 dragonflies. And now each one of those dragonflies wants you dead. Starfinder Society presents.
Yeah.
Catchy name.
It's also, if you think about like during like an accident or something like that, like I didn't want to put mechanics for exactly the hit points of the skin, and you could do that, but I think that's a little nitpicky. But you can just have times where it's like, oh, I cut myself with a knife while I'm cooking, fun, good times. Oh no, my fingers, dragonflies. Oh no, all these people saw. No, this daycare, no.
I'm sorry, children.
I'm sorry about my secret. it's also for it itself, swarm damage, you usually go down a CR. So its damage is a little bit lower when it's swarm form. It's like 1d10 plus 14 piercing, DC 16 fortitude. I also downed its regular slam attack because with its ability to just basically hide in plain sight, I felt it was a little bit powerful. Doesn't change it a whole ton, but instead of being, it has a swing of like 5 average hit points per damage almost. And it only has one attack, which is a primary slam.
It's like the Ant-Man monster from Rick and Morty, where like there's one queen dragonfly, and if you kill the queen dragonfly, all the other ones die.
See, I gave this way too much thought, and I thought about like a lot of animals don't actually have brains, or not animals, but in invertebrates, they have what are called ganglia, which are just basically big bundles of nerves. So if you treat Fey like that as part of it, you could even lose some of them and be fine, which I think is even scarier because then it can just grow back as the bugs reproduce.
Right. So what CR?
CR is 10.
Excellent. So it seems like we all sort of went on the higher side of
monsters. I think Starfinder doesn't have a lot of crazy high-level monsters right now, and so like doing those is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all the lower ones you can do with a pretty easy transition or conversion from the original Pathfinder manual. Okay.
I already see a lot of suggestions in chat. You, because of the delay in chat, and take this time, chat, to suggest any sort of monster you would like us to create. We'll discuss and pick one of the suggestions after I get done with my monster to give you all time to get those suggestions in chat. So come on, chat, please give us some monster ideas you want us to make.
I'm thinking that since you read for us, we should read for you. Are you ready, Param?
I am ready.
Array, go!
Wait, what?
Array, go.
Oh, I haven't even told you its name yet.
I don't care. Array, go.
Okay. Tag on it, Alex. I'm not keeping my monster secret like you did. I don't need to disguise it.
The chat doesn't need to know, not until you've set it up perfectly.
All right. So all right,
tell us your name first.
All right. So it was interesting that James was talking about Hellraiser as one of the inspirations, because that was totally one of my inspirations to make this thing. And I went to my favorite outsider type, the daemons. So I made a protodaemon, is what I'm calling it. It is CR8.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ah, you've got the baby monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is the and it is a daemon that is created when someone is murdered or betrayed and murdered in the isolation of space.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
It is CR8, and now you can go make me do the questions, Alex.
Array.
This is a caster array.
Spellcaster array. Creature type. Graft.
All right. This is a neutral evil medium outsider.
Subtype grafts.
Daemon, of course.
Class graft.
No class graft.
Template graft.
No template graft.
Special abilities.
All right. This thing has two unique special abilities besides its spell casting. The first and easiest one it has is Frightful Presence, because this is meant to terrify. It is a terrifying creature. Other than it doesn't have anything unique about Frightful Presence. It's just the straight normal ability where the creature has a 30-foot range, DC 20, will save or be shaken for 5d6 rounds.
What kind of death does it represent? Because all daemons represent a type of death.
This is, like I said, this is a soul that has been betrayed and murdered in space.
Oh, in space, no one can hear you scream except the daemons.
Right, which is how it, which is why it has its actual main unique special ability called Remake Horror. And in it, the proto-daemon can, as a full round action, alter the appearance of a location where a sentient being has been murdered with an area no larger than 60-foot diameter in order to make it appear as it did at the time of the murder. The daemon may also exaggerate the horror of the scene, including upping its gore and violence of the appearance. Any creature inside the era is subject to the daemon's frightful presence. They may detect that the appearance is an illusion with a DC 20 will save. The person who committed the murder, if they are in that location, however, will suffer a -5 penalty to any saves. While inside the area of the remade horror, the proto-daemon may use its holographic image and invisibility spells at will. And while in this area, the proto-daemon often tries to use its telepathic abilities and bluff skill to make their victims paranoid, afraid, and distrustful of each other, with the ultimate goal of getting its victims to turn on each other, violently murder each other, and collect their souls.
What skills does it have?
It has bluff at +19 and intimidate at +19 and sense motive at +14.
What spells does it have? Specifically, what level is the holographic image?
The holographic image is 2. It also has holographic memory as a third level spell, as well as the fear spell as a third level spell. Its second level spells is holographic image, hold person, invisibility, and mind thrust. And its at will spells are disguise self and unseen servant.
What's its move speed?
It's got a 30-foot move speed, and it is actually melee-focused. It's not afraid of getting its hands dirty should people not get to the murdering. And it has a claw attack at +14 for a D8 +7 slashing damage. And it also is a daemon, of course, which means it automatically gets summon allies, in which it has a 35% chance once a day to summon 1d4 proto-daemons.
Ooh.
That's the worst, when they just keep just flopping in and finding more dead victims.
Mm-hmm. I didn't go over this, but it mainly uses its disguise self to disguise itself as the murdered victim.
Oh, boy. Does it, like, wait for rescue parties?
Oh, absolutely. This thing loves rescue parties or explorers or scavengers.
What about rescue starfinders?
Absolutely. Rescue Starfinders are the best people to get to murder each other.
That's true. And they'll do it, too.
It doesn't take much work. It's boring.
Yeah.
So, I do find one bit of it funny there, is that if he gets that fear off properly, he's going to be running pace for pace with the things he's scaring.
Oof.
But he's not going to be able to get close enough to murder them.
Well, like I said, this is mostly meant to be a monster that you don't know is there at first, with like using invisibility in the area of a horror. It's meant to make you think it's a haunted location when it actually is just a daemon just really screwing with everybody.
Okay. I do appreciate, what is it, Jason Voorhees, the one that's like always behind you when you look around?
Mm-hmm.
Like that aesthetic. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, might be a really fun special ability for it?
Oh?
Do you remember when we were fighting those air elementals in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, our playtest, where like you would hit them and they would explode into like air?
Yes, that was...
So like, what if like the monster had an ability where like if it was attacked as like a reaction, it could basically make itself appear as if it like vanished, like almost like a reaction invisibility spell, but when it does that inside of its area, it makes it look like it was a hologram that was attacked and like dissipated, and like you have to make a perception check against its disguise to realize that it wasn't a hologram, but like if you don't pass, you think that it's just an illusion, which just adds to the haunting aspects.
Interesting. Or it could go with that, but instead because it's going to likely look like the victim that murdered, makes you think you murdered it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that.
It's like, I just keep killing you.
It turns into World of Warcraft, and like that person's body is like over the ground 40 times.
Oh, jeez. And you're gonna get some really good points where somebody actually starts to feel guilty, and then they get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I like that. Damn, Param, you were dark.
Oh, sorry, everyone. I'll make something fluffy for the Easter or something.
No. Nobody in chat wants anything like fluffy from us. They're talking about corrupted body horror aberrations right now.
Well, okay. So let's look at chat and see what the suggestions are. We've got an animated scarecrow. It looks like they're suggesting it be droid-based or Roomba-based. We also have suggestions for some body horror.
Body horror monsters are the best monsters. Do you know why, Param?
Why are body horror monsters the best?
The same reason why it freaked you guys out when you found out you were kids in Yuletide Terror. Because when you do something physical to a player's character that can't just be healed away with magic, then you really freak the players out about like their loss.
Mm.
Body horror is amazing.
So let's look at Lava Being. They suggested, I wouldn't mind some body horror. How about a corrupted body modification that is actually an aberration that slowly consumes the user before going into hibernation, appearing as an unequipped body mod? So this is like a evil leg mimic almost.
That is almost identical to the plot of the Starfinder Society scenario.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. So. There is a Starfinder Society scenario for you, Lava Being. So let's go with the Scarecrow Roomba or whatever we're going to do it with.
I don't like this.
Hmm?
Scarecrow Roomba, because I feel like why would you need a scarecrow? What is the point of having a scarecrow in a futuristic society where most people are raising their crops in like the indoor water tonic places, like an Absalom station? Like, I can't picture where you would even erect a scarecrow in the packed worlds.
Well, that's part of the challenge. This would be something that could appear in, say, a border settlement or a place they're trying to terraform a new planet. So it wouldn't be in the packed worlds. This would be something you would run out to in an outer settlement, an outside society, where they probably have some droids that help them work the fields, and maybe they dress them up, and maybe one of those droids go bad.
But that doesn't sound like that sounds like a unique monster. That doesn't sound like something that you would put in like a book and like say, hey, here's the thing. It sounds like it would be like in the NPC section of an Adventure Path volume. I don't know. I'm not feeling that. I think that a robot scarecrow sounds lame.
Okay. Well,
there's a society, Pathfinder Society scenario with that in it.
A robot scarecrow? I mean, Oh. Well, we can't do anything that's already been done in the society scenario.
Yeah, it's the Leshy scenario from season 8.
All right, so...
Oh, that's in Pathfinder. That's not in Starfinder Society, then.
Hey, if a ship from 10,000 years ago in Absalom can appear in Starfinder and haunt my dreams again...
Oh, God, that's right. I forgot about that one. Is it the same ship?
Yeah, it's King Zero of Old Aslan. Yeah.
Is it like identical from 10,000 years or whatever?
From what the scenario description is, yeah.
Does it give a lot of like talk about pre-gap stuff? Like, is that a good pre-gap scenario?
Hasn't come out yet.
Oh, we got to play it, James. What level is it?
I don't know.
Am I going to be able to play it? Or am I too low? I'm too low for a lot of things, James.
I don't know. All right. But yeah, all I know is the box text of it.
So is there a way we can take these ideas and we can mesh them together? Like, this says we have a sci-fi equivalent of an animated scarecrow. So like the point of a scarecrow is to protect your crops from, or like you basically protect your assets from things that are, that are like kind of not intelligent, I guess you could say. Like, but if a humanoid saw a scarecrow, it's probably not going to scare them.
Speak for yourself.
What if we made an aberration that was basically a humanoid scarecrow param? That its job was to just scare people that come near it to keep it away from places.
So it's Old Man Jenkins, but with tentacles.
Maybe we shouldn't do that then.
Well, we got to do something, gang. We can't shoot down every idea.
I didn't give this any thought. I figured the name of my creature very recently.
Well, we don't need to come up with a name right now. We need a concept for what it is and what it does.
Okay, so why would an aberration... Okay, so why? Wait, let's go back to robot. What if it was meant to keep people away from an area?
Russ Brown says, what if it's designed to scare away humanoids from some location?
Okay.
What if... Oh, wait, here's something funny. What if it's a creature that... It's almost like a Slenderman-y kind of thing where it pops up and like scares the crap out of people and like disappears and just shows up all over the place. And it's just trying to scare people out of their homes so it can just take their homes for itself because it like, maybe it wants, it's like the resources that are there and whatnot.
So this almost kind of links up with my original concept was that I accidentally leaked. My idea for a monster was basically Bloody Mary that from the Plane of Shadows that had interdimensional teleport through your mirror.
Yeah.
In your bathroom mirror.
Okay. So what if it's a monster that can do that kind of mirror teleporting thing, and whatever it has, it's designed, like, its abilities revolve around scaring people away from where they live.
Okay,
so that it could take their stuff.
And maybe it's scaring people away, not just to take its stuff and have a territory to be in, because then it would be motivated by greed. What if this thing actively hates sentient thought?
And so it tries to scare it away?
Yeah, so if you're a thing that has sentient thought, it doesn't want you there. Like, it's super telepathically sensitive.
So it would definitely have thought sense, blind sight thought then, because that's an ability. Mm-hmm. You can detect thoughts up to a range. Mm-hmm. What if there was some type of thought it didn't care about? And so, like, an alternative strategy is to just constantly make people think of one thing over and over again. What if it wasn't bothered by fear, but it's bothered by every other emotion?
Wait, what if it's a bill collector when you don't pay your mortgage, and the only thing that keeps it away is thinking about paying your mortgage?
Are you trying to tell us something about your experience with your new house, James?
No.
How could you? So...
Okay, so right. What kind of array would this monster use? Combat expert or spellcaster? And hold up, I'm going to be using... You use Hero Lab, but...
I have it open right now. Do you want me to do it?
No, there's actually another... there's another resource that's a free option that's actually super useful for this at SFRPG Tools called the Monster Builder, the Starfinder Monster Builder.
I use that too.
Yeah, and it will run you through... the thing. So first we have to decide the CR. We've done a bunch of high level stuff, so let's make this a CR 5-ish. Is that cool?
Yeah. All
right. Yeah, that's fine.
I think a repo mirror demon would be that CR.
Okay. And what array?
I think either combat or skills. I can't see, or maybe spellcaster, because it does a lot of jumping and scaring.
Yeah, I think that sounds like spellcaster, me being able to teleport into mirrors and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Next on. Creature type. We already said aberration. Do we want to go with something else?
We could go outsider. Plane of Shadows.
Okay.
Well, if it's an outsider, why does it want to come and scare people away? Like, if it's from another plane, what does it care what people on another place are doing?
Because it's an employed. To make people pay their mortgages.
I thought we were going with the fear thing. We're going with mortgages now?
No, we're going with the fear monster.
Oh, dang it. All right.
I think either Aberration, Fey, or...
Daemon.
I mean, so like, but yeah, but daemons are usually found in the outer planes, and they're more about like death and trying to get to kill people and reap souls.
Right.
What if we do something weird? What if it's an ooze?
Ooze, yes. This is a fear ooze. A telepathic fear ooze.
And so it can teleport from mirror to mirror, but when it gets to a mirror, it literally like oozes out from the planes through the molecules of the glass making up the mirror.
Oh, so it's like it's chrome. It's like a leaking chrome ooze.
Yeah. Are you cool with that, James?
Yeah, because it's shiny enough that when you scream at it, you see your face in a reflection. All
right. Does it have a subtop graft?
I'm skimming through them quick. I don't remember any that would be super useful. What do you think, James?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's not going to take any like other form, so shape changer isn't really appropriate. Mm-hmm. It's not really extra planar or anything, so it doesn't need those type of arrays. So I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good too.
Okay, next up.
We don't need a class graph, I'm thinking.
And I don't think we need a template graph.
I'm just scanning through quick. We could do Fenric. That gives it minor mental powers.
Okay.
So it has limited telepathy, but it's only with creatures it shares a language with. I don't think I like that. There's the Umbral, which is shadow plane stuff. It gives it dark vision, blind sense, vibration. We could alter that to thought, since that's what we want for our concept. But that's really all the Umbral thing gives. It gives dark vision and blind sense. I think we can just give it to those as abilities. I don't think we need the graft.
Okay.
Unless you think that being from the shadow plane, being in dark places is important. I kind of don't think it is as much.
We already have a monster. Your monster's already shadow plane.
Yeah. Oh, is this extra planar then?
No, this is just an ooze on its own now.
Okay. All right, so then we need the spell... Yeah, James?
Gray might be appropriate if I don't remember what the Fae special ability is. Gray. Subtype Gray, like the Gray aliens, because they get telepathy as part of that graph. I'm just trying to remember what Fae does.
Fae is the one where you have blur and you blink in and out of existence.
Oh, nah, that's scary, but not super appropriate. Never mind, we're good.
Okay. So for the spellcasting array, do we want to give them spell-like abilities or make them like actually cast spells?
It's SLAs.
Okay.
Hold up. Spellcasting array? Hold on. Yeah, spellcaster. Dun. Optional subtype. To the graft. Okay, select free special abilities. We'll come back to special abilities.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Spellcasting. Top ability scores. You have to pick the three top ability scores it has. And Int is already zero.
Oh, man. Why? Doesn't need to be.
No, we can make it higher. It's fine. I don't think there's any rule that says that it has to be a mindless creature.
Oozes have mindless as a thing, unless we override it.
I don't know why all oozes have to be mindless. I feel like that is...
I feel like Pathfinder broke that rule. Didn't other things break that rule?
Yeah, Pathfinder totally. There's that sentient ooze from in the heavens that wants to be superhero ooze and gets itself into trouble because it keeps trying to defend the heavens from monsters much more powerful than itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's this build? What do we think?
I think that it's definitely... So all oozes get blind sight. Mm-hmm. I think that it has blind sight thought.
Okay.
And so off I think, of the top...
So I think high wisdom?
Yeah, that would probably be the most likely.
Because wisdom is all... wisdom is all about like perceiving things. So maybe it is perceiving.
Okay. What do we want to have high charisma?
No, I don't think it should.
Okay. High constitution?
Maybe. What do you think, James?
I mean, constitution would probably be a high one, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe con and dex or con and strength should be good.
I like the idea of strength, because I like this thing being a slow-moving threat.
Yeah. So we'll give it con and strength. We could probably, like, what's the minimum modifier for CR5?
Oh, I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Doesn't your program tell you?
Minimum modifier for CR5.
Like, because Hero
plus
Lab is
2, plus 5, plus 3, plus 2.
Okay. So we should probably make, intelligence, like, low, like, one, like, plus 0 or plus 4, or minus 4 or something like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think this thing should be as smart as a person, because all it wants to do is scare people away because it can't tolerate their thoughts. Maybe thinking interferes with, like, the subatomic psychic bonds that keep its body animate.
Okay.
Well, that's a lot of stuff you threw out there.
I'm just thinking, like, because, like, that's something you could do as a weakness. Maybe despite being an ooze, it's vulnerable to mind-affecting effects, and it takes a penalty on them, and that's why it tries to make thinking creatures go away.
Yeah, especially in thinking about it, especially. If you think about it within range, it super hurts it. So that's how you would counter it. You would get a whole bunch of people to think about it.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe if you think about it, like, it's like a move action or something, and it has to make a saving throw or become, like, staggered or something rather than actually taking damage, because it's kind of like discorpulating its body.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So
I do like that.
What skills does this thing have? What is its master skills?
Sense motive
and intimidate.
I think its master skills definitely intimidate. Mm-hmm. It's got to scare people. What do you think, James? What should the last one be?
I would think acrobatics.
The somersault ooze. Flip ooze.
It's for, like, escape artist. Like, it's an ooze.
Flip ooze.
I mean, sure. But I was thinking, also perception might be a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, well, that's by default. Yeah.
Yeah, all creatures get perception as good by default.
I mean, I like acrobatics, because then you can't get away.
Let's do it. You can't escape the flippoos.
How does it jump so far?
How does it jump at all?
All right, so what does it have any free abilities?
That's a glow light vision and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Like climb, burrow. I think it has a climb speed, right?
It probably has a climb speed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it has a burrow speed, but it can only burrow into mirrors. No, that would be a special ability. That wouldn't be a free one.
Yeah, no, it would get this far because that's how thick mirrors are.
No, it goes into the mirrorverse.
Oh, I have burrow mirrors right now as a human.
No, James, all that glass, it'll shatter your precious human body.
Yeah, I can do it once.
All right, so what about, does it have limited telepathy, or are we going to give it something better?
I don't think it has telepathy at all. Why should it be able to communicate with creatures?
Well, it needs to be able to sense their thoughts so that it's...
That's blind sense.
Okay.
Yeah, blind sense with the word thought in parentheses.
Okay.
That's like how Sharon have it for... They have it for vibrations, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is its offensive ability? Well, not offensive, but it's two special abilities. What are we giving it?
It needs an ability so that it can go into mirrors and scare people.
Okay.
And gosh, how is it going to scare people?
By being a husk of molten, like, mercury that comes out of your mirror and does a backflip. You're right. At first, it's just disconcerting. Like, why is my mirror linking more mirror onto my sink?
Maybe because it's a mirror and its whole body is reflective, Param. It should have a good disguise, too.
Okay.
Against mirrors and chrome floors.
It's like a chameleon. It just reflects all the light.
Maybe it reflects... when you look into it, it reflects, like, a horrific version of
you.
Maybe
it's like a boggart.
There we go. I like that.
Maybe it's like a boggart in Harry Potter. Like, it can reflect the thing that you're most afraid of and make it seem like it's real, and it's like some kind of illusion.
Okay, so make it a gaze attack.
Oh, it looks at you, and then you get afraid because it shows you its your worst fear reflected in its horrible, shiny chrome body.
Yeah, it's just yourself, turns out.
It turns out the real terror was you.
Yeah, I like that. Because otherwise, it's like, yeah, it breaks your mirror and now is inconvenient. And then it just one-shots you because you're a person.
Wouldn't that be funny if it had an ability that when it dies, you had to make a save or have bad luck for 7 years?
I do like that. I don't know where that fits in, but I just like that. Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis, you've beaten the mirror ooze. But good luck. Good luck at your next job.
It's it'd be a special ability. It could be called Shatter Luck. And when the ooze dies, any creature that dealt hit point damage to it kinetic damage to it in the past hour, has to make a will save or gain a curse for the next 7 years. And the curse is that whenever you roll a d20, you have to roll twice and use the worst result.
So that's a terrible curse.
Wow, that is a CR20 monster, Alex.
Yeah, that is crazy horrible to put on a character.
Yeah, it is. Imagine if your village does that, and then they all die in the mill because they roll ones on their milling checks.
Well, that's why it only happens when you kill it.
Right, when the town gets their pitchforks and they all stab
like,
it.
I think that is horrible, Alex, but that would be a much higher level threat, because basically you just gave every character -5 at anything it does ever.
You have to make a saving throw.
Oops, I rolled a 1 and dropped my baby into this lava. Well, bad luck.
And the DC to get rid of a curse is based on, is for like remove curse and stuff, is based on a caster level check, and the DC of a curse would be based on the ability modifier of a CR5 creature, which, going off of the spell casting array, would be a DC of 15. So you'd have to roll a 4 on a caster level, or a 14. No, you'd add your level. So if you had remove curse, that's a third level spell, that's level 7. You would probably need to roll a 9 on a caster level check.
It's not level 7 in Starfinder.
Isn't it? That's a third. Yeah, so it'd be 10. Okay, so you have to roll a 5 on a caster level check to get rid of it. And then, since curses all have conditions under which you can attempt saves, you can say that the duration is 7 years, but maybe something auspicious would let you make a new save to get rid of the curse early. Like how in Holes, Stanley Yeats can get rid of his curse by carrying 0 up the mountain or whatever.
I guess.
No, it could totally work because it's a curse. You can modify the curse to be appropriate to the creature.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Just this ability just got very out of control.
Yeah.
No, it's great. You got to make them cool like that, or nobody's going to care. But you got to make sure that the things that separate the mirror ooze from the corpse soldier is strong, and the bone trooper is strong enough that it's got to ooze flavor and coolness.
Okay, let's keep it. I like it, but let's scale it severity down a little bit to maybe this happens 3 times a day randomly of your abilities, so that it's not every single action you take from that point forward.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it.
Would it be bad if it was the GM got to choose when it triggered?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. It happens 3 times a day at your GM's discretion.
Instead of writing 3 times per day, write up to 3 times per day. Yeah. So it could happen once. Like, it only happens during important climatic moments. Like, James is like, oh man, you want to use your piloting check to save your ship and win the starship combat? Curse triggers.
There we go.
Yeah. What I'm just thinking is, remember when you have to, in society, when you have to face Pugwampies?
Yeah.
You know how soul-crushing that is?
Oh, it was so funny on my side of the screen.
I hope this news comes through your mirror.
All right.
No, you don't remember that monster fight, James?
I do. It was horrifying.
Listen, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You didn't get murdered like that wizard and the lion last week.
But yeah, so we got the ability, one of the abilities. Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be a melee? I imagine this is melee focused for its attacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So as an ooze, it eats a slam.
Yeah. Did you give it a cool fear-inducing ability?
Gaze.
Oh, the fear gaze. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's got the fear gaze. It's got the when it dies, you get cursed with bad luck because it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It's got its delightful pseudopod thing that it can slam you with.
It looks like that's going to be a D4 plus 5 plus strength.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And spell-like abilities. Okay. So what's it?
All right.
We get
two mirror image.
Mirror.
Does it get second level?
Yeah, it gets 2 second levels at once a day.
We need mirror image and invisibility.
I don't know about invisibility.
Well, we didn't give it anything that lets it hide, right? We didn't give it stealth. We got disguise. Maybe we should switch disguise to stealth then. That might make more sense.
I mean, I figure it's an ambush predator. Like, it just comes out of the mirror and goes after you. As far as needing to be invisible after that, it's like, well, it got away from the bathroom. Yeah. I guess I'll go back in the mirror.
Yeah, we'll just go back and give it a killer stealth check. And it, like, it's a bonus to stealth while it's in a mirror.
Did we give it ability that lets it enter a mirror?
No, but I'll have to go and do that.
Okay. There's. I don't think there's currently anything like that in Starfinder.
Mm. Mirror merge.
I mean, the idea behind it is kind of interplanar teleport, but much nerfed because of where you can go.
No, maybe it doesn't teleport. Maybe it just slimes into an area and then like meshes with a mirror or a pool of water or any reflective surface.
It could do that. That would probably be more appropriate for its tier anyway.
And it'd be super creepy to imagine this thing just oozing through your window.
That this thing finds out that you think too much, breaks into your house, it goes into your bathroom, crawls on your toothbrush, and then hides in your mirror.
You know, another thing that we could really do if we wanted, we could have the gaze attack deal wisdom damage, because eventually you would take so much wisdom damage that you just go into a coma and stop thinking.
Huh. But is it, I mean, it's not high level thinking, but you still think, right? You're comatose, which doesn't mean you're dead.
So it'd be intelligence damage. Because that's cognitive thought.
Wisdom. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it does. It just slams you with its tendrils until it knocks you out and you stop thinking. It treats your brain
and you stop thinking. Just knocks the words out of your head.
No dreaming either, Rob.
Or I'll come back.
All right. Okay. To give it room for.
We have someone in chat asking us if the gargoyle special ability that gives a bonus to stealth when you're not moving is in Starfinder. I don't think gargoyles are in Starfinder.
No, but there are creatures that definitely have that ability or something similar to it.
Mm.
Like you fought something that you could not find because it was not moving and was in its favorite terrain and got like a plus 10 to its stealth check.
Mm. Oh, was it that jerk?
Yeah, it was that jerk.
With the sniper rifle?
No, that was just the regular jerk. No, this was, I believe it was a plant-based monster.
That might have also been a jerk.
What if it has...
Oh, the thing with the fangs, right? Mm-hmm. This one? Okay.
What about for its other spell, it has hold person?
That's a second level spell?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a winner.
It's like mind thrust.
Okay. Yeah, it's just like, hey, you're held, also you're horrified, also you're stupid.
Stop moving so I can damage you.
Yeah, so I can make you dumb.
Right, it's three first level spells.
Let me see if I can think of anything. I feel like Mystic is more appropriate than Technomancer, just because like they're all mind stuff, and that's kind of what our creature is.
So Grease.
Sure. I mean, I just kind of put them here because they kind of have to have them, but, like, the first level spells don't make the money on this one, I don't think.
Okay.
No.
So maybe not. Did not give
maybe
any
it's
of these...
got lesser confusion.
Okay.
Like, you're running around, you're babbling, you're being dumb. Also, giving it command might be funny, just because it's almost like it's taking out the... Like, it's forcing you to think a specific thought, which is, I'm going to fall down now.
That's not a smart thought in front of it, so I guess that counts.
Okay, yeah. So that's three.
We could give it the fear spell. We could give it...
See, fear spell is a problem, because if you cannot catch up to the thing that's turning away from you...
James, we could give it Tom's favorite spell. Reflecting armor!
Oh, God, why would we give it something useless?
Because it reflects, so it's thematic.
It's thematic, you're right.
It's really thematic. All right, Nate, read back to us what we've got, Param.
Okay, it's got hold person and mirror image, and it also has command, lesser confusion, and reflect armor.
So it needs one more.
No, that's it for first level spells. It needs two 0-level spells.
Days.
Okay, Days.
Psychokinetic Hand.
Okay, and Psychokinetic Hand.
I guess that's something any ooze that had the ability to do magic would want to do, is have something that can move things closer to its mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that we could do that might be really funny is Token Spell, where we could have this ooze going ahead and seasoning its food with magic.
Oh, that's too Disney.
Yes, the ooze that'd be too much. You're stupid. Is too Disney.
Well, once it starts like just bringing out like magical salt pepper, like
mm-hmm. Size.
Small or
medium?
Small or medium? I'm thinking. I'm leaning towards small.
Small. I mean,
small is like the size of a dog. I think if it's the size of a person, there's more shock value there.
I'm thinking of it like coming out of a mirror, but I guess flooding a thing the size of a person pouring out of a mirror is pretty terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you get a dog out of your mirror, you're just like, oh, the dog was hiding behind the mirror in like your medicine cabinet.
I don't think you've ever had a dog.
I don't think you've ever had a medicine cabinet.
I was almost thinking about going the opposite direction, like make it large, and just like this just keeps coming out the mirror and just floods your whole bathroom.
That's funny to the point where it appears and then has to push the creature out of the bathroom because they can't exist in the same space.
No, if it drowns monsters inside of its chromatic bulk, then that counts as stopping their thoughts, right?
Yeah.
Starfinder does not want you to do that. Russ, I don't think size gives the same deficits to intimidate it as it does in Pathfinder.
Yeah, there's nothing size related in Starfinder. Russ actually just asked that in chat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Size just is for flavor.
Yeah. Yes. And reach. Don't forget reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this thing probably wouldn't have reach, though.
No, I think it should have reach because it's slow. It's the only way it's going to get things.
What's its move speed?
20 feet.
Why not 30?
It can be 30.
Right, why not 30?
Okay, 30.
Also, it has hold person.
Right, good point.
You can't get away from me.
Okay.
I'm making you think one thought, and that is don't move.
Okay, we need to give this thing a name.
Mirror Mind.
I was going to call it the Repossession Agent, but that's not apt anymore. A Grim Reflection.
Grim Reflection. That's, I like it.
Yeah, that's a really good name. No, let's go with it.
All right, everyone. We have Grim Reflection, the mirror anti-thought ooze.
Yeah. Yeah, ready to burst through your bathroom mirrors. I guess there's mirrors other places, like in your car. Good luck with that.
And it's medium size, just pouring out of your, it's just pouring out of the mirror that's like in your in the cockpit.
So yeah.
It's
like,
and it just starts slapping you while it's pouring out.
Yeah, you're applying makeup with your compact, just and you know that thing went into your makeup bag and hit it in your compact.
Yeah, no, totally. You go and like you're walking and then all of a sudden your compact feels like it weighs 200 pounds because it does. There's now an ooze inside of it.
Intent is scarier than accident.
All right, everyone. That is our ooze. I think this is very scary and would make for an excellent horror scenario. And if you've enjoyed any of our oozes or have any horror monsters of your own, please let us know on the comments or on this video or on, of course, NoDirectionPodcast.com if you're listening to the audio. And, of course, our Facebook page at Facebook.com/NoDirection. You can also participate in evil monster discussion or anything else Starfinder or Pathfinder related at the chillest Discord channel in the Paizo fandom, which is at our Discord server, which you can find at NoDirectionPodcast.com. You can also email us at NoDirection@Hotmail.com or visit us at Twitter.com/NoDirection. Anything y'all want to shout out to before we go? Alex, any cool Starfinder stuff you've put out?
Russ Brown is asking us if we're going to post the stats for our monsters.
We totally are. Luis is letting us use his monster slot. So we're going to post all the monsters that we've created as well as this mind anti-mind ooze on Friday on the blog.
Yeah, free resources for your games. Terrify your friends and family with mirror ooze. With grim reflections.
I'm kind of proud of that name.
No, you should be. It's your first great name of your career. Let's keep going, James.
James is MVP.
Oh, thank you.
I think James has a shout-out he wants to do.
I do. So coming up on November 16th to 18th up in Scranton, there's MepaCon, which is a pretty cool convention. They're going to do some Pathfinder. They might be doing Starfinder. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not able to go because of other obligations, but it's a good group of people. And if you're in the northeastern Pennsylvania area or willing to travel a little bit, you'll probably have a good time. I put the link there, and I'm going to throw it up in Discord, too. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right, so until next time, everybody, go beyond with no direction.